Then you know about the contract campaign that the Portland Association of Teachers recently won. And they won it with the help of students, the tireless work of teachers and their bargaining committee, and the community supporters in the Portland Teacher and Solidarity Campaign. In the end, the Portland Public School Board was forced to finally come to the table by the threat of an impending teacher strike that would have shut down the city. We know that the fight for education justice is not over. And while the contract campaign was an overall success in securing at least 150 new teaching positions, explicit language around academic freedom, protecting teachers from being evaluated solely on the basis of standardized tests, and more, we have to also acknowledge the major blow to working people's conditions, and that is the elimination of early retirement. Labor Radio would like to thank all of the students, parents, and teachers who took time out of their busy organizing to tell our listeners what was going on, and we hope that you continue to contact us by going to kboo.fm or finding our Facebook page. I spoke with David Osborne at PSU.
My name is David Osborne, and I'm an instructor at PSU and a member of the faculty union, the Portland State University Association of American University Professors. And I teach classes mostly on culture and social movements. With regards to the specifics of Portland State University, we've been bargaining now for more than 10 months. That started way back in the spring of last year. And, you know, at play are a couple kind of core things. For us, the issues that we've really been focused on and that continue to be really far apart from with the administration are faculty stability issues. I'm talking here about kind of multi-year contracts and knowing that instructors and teachers and professors will be able to teach and know that they will be from year to year. Equitable pay so that we can attract and retain quality faculty. And then educator-led education. And by that I mean talking about issues of governance in the university, which professors have a long historical role in that regards. So that's been going on for 10 months. Our contract originally expired at the end of November, and there just has not been an ability for the administration to meet us on these issues, it seems. It's been very unfortunate, but these core issues, which we feel are fundamental to providing the kind of high-quality education that we're committed to, are things that we just can't compromise on. And so as we moved into mediation in the winter, we still weren't getting there. And so eventually we felt like we had no choice but to declare impasse, and we are preparing for a strike and holding a strike for next week. So let's just take my own particular case. So I am a fixed-term faculty member, which is several hundred members of our bargaining unit, and indeed the majority of classes that are taught at PSU are either taught by people in my condition who have year-to-year contracts or occasionally multi-year contracts, or people who are adjunct. So that means they're teaching less than half-time, and they're actually hired term-to-term, and I have been in that position as well. So this kind of precarious state of professors is the majority for teachers at PSU. And that's a kind of broader trend that we could talk about, which also I think kind of frames our contract negotiations as these kind of broader national trends that we're dealing with. You know, for me, at the end of each year, I'm laid off, and then I wonder about if I'm going to continue to teach next year. I have started a program about supporting alumni and students and continuing the kind of social change engagement they often begin at the university. And I waited all summer not knowing really if I was going to continue not only my teaching but also my program until literally a few weeks before the term start. And that's obviously not only bad for me but bad for students in the sense that I don't know if I'm going to be working again. And so it's hard for me to make those kinds of investments of my time in terms of developing my program or doing kind of syllabus development or course development outside of my paid working time and during the school year, if I don't really know if I'm going to actually put that work to use. And then in terms of the Christmas letter, the timing to me is really quite shocking and completely inappropriate. Basically, we are, you know, required to be served some notice that we may be laid off at the end of an academic year. It comes right before Christmas, and I literally received this letter, a certified piece of mail, on Christmas Eve notifying me that my position would essentially expire at the end of the year. And for this particular year, I think that was really hard on a lot of faculty and a lot of families because they don't necessarily always send those out to everyone. A lot of people do get them, but this year, in talking with my colleagues, a lot of people got them but haven't gotten them for a long time because the administration is looking for what they call maximum flexibility in terms of restructuring in the next academic year. And so I think, you know, that's hard to receive at any time of the year, but it's really hard to receive, I think, on Christmas Eve, and it's really inappropriate that that's the time at which the administration delivers them. I think it's important for folks just to be engaging and talking about this issue, and especially because this isn't just an issue about our contract and our wages, our levels of compensation, or those kinds of things. This is Portland State University is a public institution, and we need to have a public debate about not only the future of that institution of higher education, but about education more broadly. And so that's why I think this is really of fundamental importance to folks. And at this stage, I think it's important to be having a dialogue. What is the role of the university? What should our orientation be? How should the administration be setting values and priorities? Because that's what this is about in many ways. There'll be opportunities to take action and to help out as this struggle continues. But to start, folks can give the administration a call. They can call the office of the president, Vim Vivelle, and let him know that folks are in support of the faculty union. They're in support of us in our demands for faculty stability, equitable pay, and educator-led education that we believe will serve both our students and the community of Portland, and that the administration is really going in the wrong direction of this, and they need to reverse that direction now and meet us on these critical issues to providing the kind of quality education we're committed to.
Well, thank you, David Osborne, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know there's a lot going on when there's a contract fight, to let us know and just keep Labor Radio informed of what we can do to inform the public about your struggle.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. That was David Osborne, professor at PSU. I also spoke with a Portland State University student and member of the Portland State University Student Union.
My name is Ina Levin, and I study community development and sustainable urban planning at PSU. I'm a senior. I'm in my last year, getting ready to graduate. I'm involved with the Student Action Coalition, the Portland State University Student Union, as well as the Community Development Student Group, and I'm also a peer mentor in the University Studies program.
It seems like the students, I know there was a rally recently, mm-hmm. The students have been really vocal about the current AAUP struggle. So I wanted to ask you about why students should care and how students have participated thus far.
As you mentioned, there was a really well-attended rally, which was actually a walkout from class. Over 600, I believe, students walked out of their classrooms last Thursday in support of contract negotiations that have been going on between AAUP, which is the full-time faculty union, and the PSU administration. The walkout then kind of joined up with an info picket slash rally that AAUP had organized. There was some marching, some chanting, some awesome sign waving. A lot of students were able to get on the megaphone and voice their concerns about these negotiations, about the general state of education at Portland State. A lot of students are really concerned about the spending priorities of the administration. The walkout was planned by members of the Portland State University Student Union, or SUSU, the P is silent. We did a lot of outreach. Professors were really, really welcoming to us to have us come speak to their classrooms. We like to call them class wraps. So we kind of get up there in front of an entire class. Sometimes it's 12 people. Sometimes it's almost 100. There's a lot of really, really big classes at PSU. Another problem with the quality of education. Yeah, we just talked to our fellow students about what is going on, what their tuition dollars are being spent on, why we think it could be spent better in a way that has been more beneficial to students. We really just put the word out there. We used our Facebook and our website. We did one-on-one conversations with students just in the park blocks at Food for Thought Cafe. So our goal was to hit 500 people. That felt like a good number that would make people feel comfortable and supported and part of something real. And also it felt like that would be a good number to make an impact and a statement to the administration and to the Portland community that students really do support their professors, that we stand together in the struggle for improving the quality of education at PSU. One of the main reasons for the walkout was to hopefully send such a strong message to the administration that there is so much support out there. There's so much unity with these contract negotiations that this is the time. The time was 10 months ago when these negotiations started. But if not then, the now is the time to actually sit down and bargain a fair contract, one that puts students' needs first. And if that can happen, then there will not be a need for a strike. So that's definitely something that we're really thinking carefully and strategically about, how to stand with our professors in this fight for better quality education while not doing anything that's actually going to undermine that education.
About the student union, you know, mm-hmm. when people talk about unions, they certainly don't think about students. And I don't know if you're familiar with the local Portland Student Union mm-hmm. that worked around the PAT contract, Portland Association
of Teachers.
Yeah, those guys are
awesome. Super inspiring to us at PSU.
So in terms of your inspirations, mm-hmm. your projects, your goals, tell us a little mm-hmm. bit more about the PSU Student Union, the
sure.
SUSU.
I'd love to. The idea came out of the just amazing, insane success that we saw happen during the Maple Spring, the Quebec student strikes of the summer of 2012. The Quebecois government was planning on nearly doubling tuition. Yeah. They pay a lot less than we do, but still, nearly doubling the amount you pay for school is, like, that's crazy. That's really unmanageable for most students. So students were able to get organized. They already had a student union structure in place, so they were able to utilize that to vote to go on a general strike. And it was, you know, students, teachers, workers, just most people involved in the higher education system were involved in this. And they were not only able to reverse the government's decision to double tuition, they actually were able to basically run that political party out of office. Huge, huge successes. And we here at PSU were like, wait, our tuition goes up every year. No one even blinks. No one even, like, thinks that's weird. That's weird. Like, how can we just be accepting of this? Like, our tuition keeps going up. Our class sizes keep going up. Our professors aren't getting paid anymore. We're not getting anything more for that increasing amount of tuition that we keep having to spend. What can we do about this? Some members of the Student Action Coalition, other concerned students on campus thought, how can we recreate some of that amazingness here at home?
So just what are your thoughts as a student about the changes that are happening, and how does that link up with the professors' demands?
Well, you know, why is tuition going up? That's a really loaded question. It's going up for so many reasons. And again, this isn't really the time to go into, like, a whole lesson on neoliberal economics and, you know, why just education is being deprioritized nationally and globally. That's definitely the start of this conversation. But if we look at the issue more locally, it's important to know that historically, Portland State University has been part of the Oregon University system. And that has been the level at which budgetary decisions were being made at the state level. Instead, budgetary decisions will be overseen by something called an institutional board, or an I-board for short. It is part of a strategic move away from valuing education for the improvement and betterment of a community as a whole to a business model that is basically treating higher ed as yet another business that you pump money into and suck money out of. I would imagine that affects the kinds of areas of study that we're prioritizing, that we're willing to pump money into. You know, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what the administration's, like, you know, deep, dark thoughts are. But I do know that the business school doesn't seem to be suffering quite as much as liberal arts. Everyone I talk to, I have a lot of friends that are business majors, and it's like they're going to a completely different university. They don't see their class sizes increasing. They don't see various resources being stripped away from their professors. But everyone I talk to in the liberal arts programs, everyone I talk to who's a social science major, they're seeing their favorite professors have to leave PSU because they can no longer afford to teach here. And that's just insane to me. We're losing our best professors because they have to go elsewhere because teaching at PSU is no longer, forget profitable, it's no longer sustainable. I mean, these people have families that they have to provide for, and they're literally not able to do that on the salaries that they're being paid. So I would definitely encourage folks to find SUSU on Facebook, PSUSU. We're also at PSUSU.org. That's basically the best way to find out information. If you have any more questions about what neoliberalism is, how to get involved, what the ins and outs of the AUP contract are, what President Vivelle's response to our petition was, what our response to that. Yeah, there's a lot of really great information. Also, AUP has created a new website called wearepsu.org, and that is basically all of the information and all of the different ways to get involved with this current struggle. You can follow STAC and AUP on Twitter. I think the last parting thought that I would want to share is that this struggle is about students. You know, we keep saying we're students and we stand with our professors. But really, it's also about the fact that our professors are standing with us when they're in the negotiation bargaining room and they are asking for things. The things they're asking for, the things they're demanding from this negotiation is the kinds of things that are going to improve our education. So it's not just that, it's the right thing to do. It's about how this affects us as students and how we want to be treated as students at PSU, and what values we want to be supporting. And our teachers are supporting the values of education and learning. Our administration is supporting the values of capitalism and money and using us as piggy banks. I certainly urge every single student to get involved because it directly affects what they're getting out of their experience at PSU. I could not emphasize that strongly enough.
Great. Thank you, Ina, so much for talking to us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
That was Ina Levin talking about the importance of the current AAUP contract fight and how it affects students at Portland State. I spoke with Patricia Schechter, a professor at Portland State University.
I'm Patricia Schechter. I'm a professor of history at Portland State University. I have taught at PSU since 1995, and I was hired to teach U.S. women's history and gender studies.
What's going on at PSU regarding the contract? Can you give us a little bit from a professor's experience on the ground, especially, rallies and things? What are you seeing on campus right now?
Well, I think we're seeing two things. One is that the negotiations at the table are stuck. 10 months running, very little progress has been made until we declared impasse a couple Mondays ago. And now we've seen some final offers, and we've seen a little bit of movement on the part of the administration. Not enough, but a little. So that's one thread of the story. The other thread of the story has to do with the rally, I think, that you mentioned. It was a week ago, Thursday. And that's really the expression of two things. One is the incredible organizing that our students have done for years now around especially student debt. And they have an alliance with faculty in courses, in capstones, really have investigated and taken intellectual ownership of this debt crisis that is facing U.S. students nationally. And so they have their own, ownership of this issue, both as a student studying stuff going on in society, but of course from their experience. So we've got a grassroots, a sort of local in-house cadre of students that has been active, committed, and keeping themselves informed and educating their peers about what's going on. And that, I think, has dovetailed or sort of met a really powerful alignment with faculty issues that have been heating up for years, that the union also has been trying to keep people educated about, keep us informed about, keep our legislators informed about, the deterioration of conditions for us as faculty. And the key for AAUP, like PAT locally, is that students' learning conditions are faculty working conditions. And so we see our, you know, our work is linked, our place in the university, our place as learners and students together is linked.
Wow, yeah, and I know a lot of what we've reported on in Labor Radio in general is about the privatization of public institutions that's been going on both, you know, for our local teachers, but also the laborers right now in the city. And so from a professor's perspective and standpoint, how does that trend translate? How do we see that here in this fight?
Sure. The way it hits me very personally is I feel in some ways my job description has been rewritten out from under me. I'm a first generation college student myself. My mother finished the seventh grade. My father only finished high school. I'm a scholarship kid and a beneficiary of affirmative action. And I lucked into a full-time position in higher ed, and I fell in love with PSU in part because it spoke to some of my own families and personal aspirations about education, about taking some control over one's destiny, and also just the life of the mind and just the honor it is to connect with one another around and ask big, hard questions of each other and of old books and texts that I like to work with. And so I signed on to this thinking, well, you know, PSU, I came from Hunter College in New York City, which is also a very access-oriented institution of higher learning. And I got into this because, okay, I'm in. I am happy. Indeed, I feel it's an honor to work with students who are aspiring to something more, who are making enormous sacrifices to achieve education, to try to get a little more control over their futures and a little more. I mean, I teach women in gender studies. I teach a very heavily female part of our student body, and they are doing a lot for their families and for themselves. And sometimes, you know, with opposition, with challenges, numerous challenges. So I was all about that. I was happy to sign on to that. What's happened in the last 5 years is instead of being someone who was trying to transfer social capital, if you will, across a class divide, even if it's not such a big gap between me and my students, to someone who is essentially become a vector for debt. Because the security that a bachelor's degree used to be able to give has been called into question by the restructuring of our economy and the persistent migration of money and capital to the 1% from the 99%. Noam Chomsky had a piece in the Chronicle last week that spoke to this quite eloquently. And so I have to own that in front of my students, and it's freeing. It's also painful. So I feel I've become kind of a vector for debt, and that was not what I signed up for, and I won't go quietly.
You mentioned that class size for your undergrad was growing.
Sure.
Can you tell me just the story behind that and
sure.
how that may or may not factor in? Because I know class size for the public school students recently was a big question, and I can only imagine, you know, similarly there's workload effects on that as well.
Sure. No, this is one of the things that AAUP has been very vocal about, that we, in advocating not just for an equitable contract, but we've been a strong voice for a student-centered budget on campus. These things are linked. That class size and control over our workflow is absolutely key to protecting quality for students. So students are paying more than ever, and class sizes are getting bigger. When I started in 1995, my classes were booked for 25 people. They've gone as high as 90, but I get very grumpy and I start acting up. And, you know, to be a historian, you have to read a lot of books and write a lot of papers. It's an old school. It's a craft. And it takes a lot of time. And students can't write three substantial papers and take a final if I'm looking at, and I can't give the support to 90 students even when I have a TA that I like to give for the money. It's still just me. And they're paying more than ever for that education. And I can't get to everybody. I'm here to tell you, students are already in pain. They come to my office in tears. And they say, Patricia, I cannot afford to stay in school. And I cannot afford to graduate because they can't pay for their debt. This is pain. This is unfair. And this has to stop. So, best we can, we are not going to hide from that. Pretend it's not there. We're going to speak up. Our students deserve better than what they're getting. And we deserve better than what we're getting. So that's what I want people to know. That yes, it is difficult, very, very difficult to contemplate a strike. But I do it because my students are already in pain. And I will not be silent about it and complicit with it anymore.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your experience, Patricia.
You're welcome, Meredith. It's been a pleasure to be here.
That was Patricia Schechter discussing the fight for a fair contract. To find out more information about what you've heard on tonight's Labor Radio program, you can go to kboo.fm and check out the Labor Radio page. KBOO is hosting an event on Thursday, March 13th at 6 p.m. that starts with a panel discussion including Gwen Sullivan of the local Portland Association of Teachers, Ian Jackson from the Portland Student Union, and many more on the challenges that face our schools today. The documentary, called The Inconvenient Truth Behind Waiting for Superman, highlights the real-life experiences of public school parents, students, and educators to show how these so-called reforms are actually hurting public education. The film discusses the kinds of real reform, inside schools and in our society as a whole, that we urgently need to genuinely transform education in this country.
Tune in to Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene. Join hosts Patrick Picard, Barbara LaMorticella, and Walt Curtis for Talking Earth on the second and third Mondays of each month from 10 to 11 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm under schedule.
Last year, the Oregon legislature passed a bill to reduce the size and cost of our state prison system. The bill flatlined prison growth, reduced sentences, and extended transitional leave. The money saved from these reforms was reinvested in Oregon counties for programs and services to help reduce prison intakes, protect the public, and lower recidivism. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how Washington County plans to spend its justice reinvestment funds. That's Prison Pipeline, March 24th at 6:30 p.m.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hello, and welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM here in the Portland area. My name is Peter Pincel. I'm your host for this evening, and I'm here tonight with Clarina Boston, the Executive Director of Better People. Better People is a workforce development organization for individuals who've been involved in the justice system in North Portland. But don't let me steal all the thunder. Clarina, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got into this work.
Well, actually, I was teaching as an adjunct at Portland State University when the chair of the department shared with me that she had met Chip Shields, who is the founder of Better People, And he at that time had set up a board, and they were putting together funding to open this program to work with people who had legal histories. And so initially I met Chip, I joined the board, and finally we decided in 1998 to open our doors. I resigned and took a position with the program.
So Chip Shields, he was a state legislator, or still is perhaps, and so he was one of the founding members of Better People, brought you on board as a board member. Then after things got ramped up, opened the doors and you joined as a staff member there.
That's correct.
Okay, so and now you are executive director. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Chip decided in 2004, as you've indicated, to throw his hat in the ring and run for, at that time, to become an Oregon State representative. And so I submitted my resume and was selected by the board to become executive director, and I've held that position ever since.
Okay, and so what is Better People for a listener who knows absolutely nothing about the organization?
Better People is a program that works with individuals who have legal histories. Semantics are very important to us. That is, people who have committed a crime sometime in their life. We provide four basic services. All clients are required, first of all, to attend an orientation so they can decide whether or not this is a commitment they want to make. And then we provide, four services. All clients must participate twice a week in cognitive behavioral therapy, and we use moral recognition therapy, which is an evidence-based process. We also provide clients with a 23-hour job readiness program. We assist them in gaining permanent employment. And then once they're employed, retention services are extremely important, so we seek to help them remain employed long-term.
Okay, so you guys provide cognitive behavioral therapy and employment help and then employment retention after they've gained employment, after the individual has gained employment. So I know that there are a couple different organizations similar, Central City Concern, Southeast Work.